Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of the Old School Primitive Baptist with Elder Don Martin, Sr. Stay tuned for another gospel message of God's free and sovereign grace.
I was blessed when I got a note from, I guess I got a call from Brother Jim, and he left it on my recorder, and then I got an email, and I emailed him back about the 30th anniversary of this assembly. And it has been meeting and continue to be blessed to meet over 30 years. It is unbelievable. In 1980, we began to have a first meeting. And to think about the path that God has brought us each over the years to get to the place where we met that first time, and then even brought us to the point we're at right now. Isn't it wonderful to believe that God has appointed our steps?
Amen. Yeah.
And that our past has been determined of Him. And that it is God that has brought us thus far. And it's God that's going to continue to keep us along the way until we reach the final destination that we have been determined to experience, and that is going to be immortality and with an incorruptible body, likened unto His in immortal glory. I'm going to invite you this morning, if God permit, to a portion of Scripture in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 46 is a very special portion of Scripture because of the expression of the omnipotence and the almighty character of God and His sovereign attributes. Let me begin reading at verse 9 of chapter 46 of Isaiah. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to follow me. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Now Isaiah, in his prophetical writings, as he's inspired of the Spirit of God, has penned these words, that we are to remember the former things of old, and that is what the surmise of the Old Testament and Old Covenant is about, is that we look back and that we remember these things. They are written for our examples, the Bible says. The Old Covenant, the Old Testament, was for a divine purpose. It was that which expressed the law of God to the children of Israel, the statutes, the testimonies, the commandments, and the testimonies of God to the children of Israel, that it would be a record for our learning and understanding in this New Testament time, New Covenant time of dispensation, that we would be able to reflect back and remember these things and see all the more the omniscient, omnipotent, almighty God of glory, who is unlimited and who is almighty without any excuse.
Amen.
Now the Bible says to remember the former things of old, for I am God. And He says that there is none else. There's no other God besides the God of the Holy Scriptures, God Jehovah Elohim Yahweh, the God Almighty of the Holy Writ, and there's none other God than Him. Allah is not the God that created the heavens and earth by and through the means of His Son, Jesus Christ. Allah is nothing but a figment of the imagination of the Islamic world, and is that which has come along as Muhammad had inscribed in the Quran as the latter-day prophet or the successor of Jesus Christ. That is a lie. There is none that succeeds Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He changes not, and no man takes His place. No man succeeds Him in His deity, in His almighty person of God manifested to us in the flesh. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the very image of the invisible God, the Bible says. And Jesus Christ is God, and by Him were all things created that were created, and for without Him was nothing created. And so they can say what they want to say, but the Muslim world has come up with a new prophet, a new savior, a new means and method, a new religion, and that it is a false gospel. It is a lie. It is untrue. And yet it is the fastest growing religion in the world. And it is so because God in His determinate purpose is causing it to be. Because I believe that the world and the nations of the world, and especially the United States, has become callous to the gospel to the point to where God has lifted His hand of grace upon this land, but yet, even though He has done that as far as a nation, there is a remnant, according to the election of God, that shall continue holding on and maintaining to the truth of the God Almighty of the Bible, and that He is Almighty, and that He is unlimited in all of His ways and His works among the children of men. Amen. Now the Bible says that God, there's none like Him, and that He has declared the end from the beginning. Now God has declared it. And when God declares something, He speaks it to being, and that is the end of it. That is good. He has declared the end from the beginning. Now let me share something with you for that may provoke you to thought. If our God, the God Jehovah, who manifested Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came born of a virgin and was prophesied by this very same prophet Isaiah some 730 years before the Virgin Mary conceived by the Holy Ghost, the virgin, a one chosen of God, to begot the body of Jesus Christ, 730 years, Isaiah said that it was going to occur. Now listen to me. If God prophesied that through His prophet Isaiah, and anything could circumvent that from occurring in its designated time, then God is not almighty and sovereign over all things. Amen. But because God had determined it by the prophet 730 years prior to, Mary did conceive. She did have that which was of the Holy Ghost within her womb. She did begot Him in that lowly manger scene. And He did raise up to be among the chief elders at 12 years old, instructing them in the things of God, which they could not even get over, the fact that He had such wisdom. And yet He grew in stature and in age. And then at the age of approximately 30, He went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. and he began to preach the gospel, that good news message, that God has come now, and he's manifested in the person of Jesus Christ to seek and to save sinners. That is his mission, to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to seek and save sinners.
Amen.
Now, again, I reiterate, if the prophets of old could prophesy and some of it not come to pass because of the events that were brought about by the human creature, then God is not fully, absolutely sovereign in all of his control of all things in this time realm and this world in which we live. But I guarantee you, and according to the authority of the Word of God, nothing can circumvent, intervene, or to come about as an event or by the means or minds of men that would change what God has declared to come to about, to that which is declared to be the end from the beginning.
Amen.
He's declared the end from the beginning and everything in between. That's what's so marvelous about the sovereignty of God, is that he's not only declared the end from the beginning, but everything in between. He declared you when you were to be born of your mother. He declared the steps that you walk, and he has ordered the path by which you are traveling even today. And we are here in this small little humble group, here in the DAV building, here as a remnant of people who have endorsed these truths from the onset in 1980 when we began to meet together rejoicing in the truths of God's absolute sovereign and free grace.
Amen.
And yet it's still going on because God has kept the work going. He's kept the fire burning. He's kept the truths in our heart, engraved them there that we cannot get away from them. Now, let me ask you, those of you that have been taught the sovereignty of God, can you quit believing it today? Is there any way you can stop from believing that God is sovereign? Oh, it's impossible, because God has engraved it upon the heart of man. And so therefore, just as he's declared the end from the beginning, so has he done that to us, and we shall endure to the end of believing those truths. You say, well, we don't act like it sometimes. No, we don't. We're imperfect people. We're walking in a flesh that's sinful. It's prone to wander. It's prone to leave the Lord that I love. But God ain't prone to leave us. And he's promised never to leave us or forsake us. And he'll never do that. He is quick to forgive us. He's quick to chasten us. He's quickening us to bring us back into the place where we ought to be and walk in the goodness of his grace. For we have been ordained to walk in good works. And when we don't, brother, you ain't going to get by with it. You won't get by. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth. Amen. He chastens them. And to all that he loves, he will chasten. You know, the Bible says in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, he says that all, that's the totality, of the elect of God shall be partakers of God's chastening. That means that none is going to escape this chastening. That means that none are going to live so righteous that they're not going to be chastened during their time walk in this time world. We're all failures in being perfect before God. But yet God has promised that he will take and chasten us, and he will take and correct us, and whatever it means and method that takes to do. Declaring the end from the beginning and the ancient times of things that are not yet done. Things that are not yet done, God has already declared them, and they just haven't come to pass yet. We have got, if time permit, and God carries his coming, there is some, I believe, some more perilous times to be seen and experienced in this time world, and especially in America. Because America, as a people, have taken and turned away from the principles, the values, and the the aspects of God of whom it was founded upon. And God will not let this go by and will not wink at it without the nation being chastened by God. And we're seeing it today. Look at it economically. Look at it in regarding the terrorist threat. Look at what's going on in our airports. People are going through x-ray machines and stuff because the terrorists have got us so frightened that they are concerned about someone going on a plane, even with a diaper on, with explosives, to where you can't even fly without having your own personal body examined through an x-ray machine. I mean, and it's all because of Islam. It's all because of the Muslim terror. It's all because of fear. And here we are. We're in a nation that is becoming captive to fear. And so, in God's divine purpose, it's being brought to pass. And what he has in store for us is yet to be seen. Look at the government. You know, it's a blessing to me. People say, well, yeah, look at the government. They go on and on and on about the political aspect. But, you know, as a believer in the sovereignty of God, I am convinced and I'm persuaded that God Almighty has set in place every magistrate, every governor, every senator, congressman, and president that we've ever had in this nation, in this place by his sovereign purpose, fulfilling his will. As Osama bin Laden was taken and moved out of the way of power by God's determined purpose, and no matter what anybody thinks about it. That look at the mess that we've got to deal with over there since that happened. And look at Afghanistan. Look at Obama traveling around. He ain't been in the White House, Oval Room, doing any kind of business in there that I know of for 2 or 3 months. He spent more money on jet fuel flying around campaigning for folks that during this past election and been over in Asia trying to persuade them to invest money in America, and they don't want nothing to do with us. And he has wasted his time. And it's in God's divine purpose. Because if he's declared the end from the beginning, then he has wasted his time. But let me assure you one thing. He's wasted his time because God has determined him to. And he's only going to be in that place of leadership as long as God has determined him to be. And when God is finished with him being there and doing what he's supposed to do, however distorted and messed up that he makes it, God has determined it to be. And therefore, I can rest in that. I don't really like it, but did the children of Israel like it when they went out into the wilderness and was out there for just a matter of days? They said, wow, we don't even know what we're going to eat tomorrow. At least when we was back in Egypt, we had some onions and leeks and other edible things, but we don't even know what we're eating tomorrow. And then the Lord, he told them that I will provide manna for you from above. They were to go out 6 days and gather up this manna, and he fed them. But yet, it was day by day that God provided their needs, and therefore, they were uncomfortable with that. And so it is in America. We have become a spoiled nation, used to having what we want, when we want it, and it's changing. When you're out of work and have no money and can't pay your mortgage, you don't get what you want like you did 5 years ago. You can't have the things you once had. And we're murmuring about it. And it's all part, I believe, God's chastening upon a nation that has rebelled against the God of heaven and the principles by which this Constitution was founded upon. But nevertheless, God is fulfilling his will. And don't be in despair, because he shall always have a remnant. He shall always have a remnant. For when there is no more remnant, it's going to be when Jesus Christ has come back and taken them off of this planet. And he sends forth his holy angels to gather from the four winds of the earth the elect of God, the bride of Jesus Christ, of which he has gathering together even as we speak this day. He's still seeking and saving sinners as it pleases him, until that one lost sheep that he's determined to seek and to save, that one remnant, that one of the elect, that one of the appointed heirs of grace, that one that is ordained to be in the kingdom of heaven in glory, is called into the fold. Until that day comes, then Jesus Christ is tarrying and fulfilling his will in all things as even we see it today. He is sovereignly fulfilling all his counsel, and it shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God is doing all his pleasure. And the Bible says in the 11th verse of this 46th chapter, even to the point of calling a ravenous bird from the east. You say, well, that's insignificant for God to care enough to even call a bird from the east to go a certain way and go a certain place, and to call a man that executeth my counsel from a far country. What he means by that is, I will call a man to go forth and to prophesy and to execute my counsel. In other words, express my wisdom among who I send them to. And it says right here, he says, for I will send him from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. What God has purposed, he shall also do. He's purposed to have a church. Amen. He's having a church. That is the reason that Jesus Christ had come to this time world, is to gather together and call out of the depraved, sinful lot of mankind, a people for his name's sake, that they would be his church, to be his bride. And that bride is being prepared, and is going to be without spot nor wrinkle. And he's going to come back for this spotless and without wrinkle church. He's going to call them unto himself, and they're going to be forever with him in eternal glory to sing the praises of grace forever and eternity. Yes, God declared the end from the beginning, from the ancient times of things that are not yet done. Oh, what else has not yet been done that God has purposed to do? That's a mystery. And the secret things belong to God.
Amen.
We ain't supposed to know them. And if we did know them, we may not have liked them. But let me tell you something. If God told you when you were going to die and the day that it was going to be, would you want to know that? I believe it would haunt you. And as the day begin to wind, the days wind down and it gets closer to that time, you'd be a mess. But you see, we don't know the time. God could call me home away from this time world before I even get back up to Lake Panasoffkee. He could call any of us here away. We could be killed today in the appointed, determined will of God in an automobile wrecked before we even get to our places of abode. And that will be the end. Our path has come to the end, and God has determined his will in our life. No, if God could send out his prophets as he done in the old covenant, to prophesy the things that have not yet come to pass 1,000 years beforehand, as he did to Abraham, he says, from thy seed shall there be risen up a people. And from that seed, and we have the seed of Abraham by the faith that God had given Abraham to believe God, we have that same faith. And to talk about faith a minute, faith is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace and faith both are. You can't separate grace and faith to the elect child of God. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says that the life that now we now live in the flesh, Paul says we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Do you realize that that word of in there, you've heard me preach on this before, I know. But that word of has been retranslated in modern versions of the scriptures and says in. By the faith in Jesus. There's a difference between faith of Jesus and faith in Jesus.
Amen.
The faith of Jesus makes him the originator of it. It makes him the initiator of it. It makes him the one who alone can grant it. And unless Christ grant faith, no one shall be able to believe that he is who he says he is. And Christ is the author and finisher of that faith. And it is by the faith of Christ that we believe that he is the only seeker and savior of sinners. And for without faith it's impossible to please God. That's what the Bible says. And it also says in Hebrews that if the gospel being preached is not mixed with faith, it shall not profit the hearer. And that means that the hearing ear and seeing eye, as is prophesied in the scriptures and the Proverbs, they both are of the Lord. You cannot see the things of the kingdom of God with a spiritual eye in the heart and mind of your individual person apart from the grace of God. You cannot hear the gospel and understand and perceive its truth apart from God opening your deaf ears, which are deaf by depravity's deadness. We're dead. We're born dead spiritually. We are dead before God Almighty, and we must be quickened and made alive by the Holy Spirit. And then only are we able to hear, and then only are we able to see the kingdom of God and that which makes up the kingdom of God. You say, well, what is that? It's people. It's people. We make up the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is within you. And each of us that possess the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ and by the operation of the quickening of Christ's Spirit and by the new birth, we are the church of Christ. We are the people of God. We are those who walk in this time world to a different drumbeat than we did before we were regenerated by the power of God. We walk to a different way. We're in a new way, a new and living way, the Bible says. No, all that God had prophesied in times past has come about, and those things which are yet to come, they shall be brought about. For he alone has declared the end from the beginning. And I'm so blessed to know that. I'm so blessed to know that. The Bible says, and regarding the hearing ear, he says in the 8th chapter of John, he says that they that be of God heareth God's words. And they that be not of God heareth not the words of God.
Amen.
Now that's just as simple as that. You say, why don't somebody manifest a hope in Christ? Why don't they want to go to church? Why don't they love the gospel? Why don't they read the Bible? You know why? Because they can't hear it. They can't understand it. They can't perceive it. They're deaf. And do you know that if someone's here today and God has not given you a hearing ear to hear the truth of the gospel, of the good news that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners, I might as well be standing up here talking to you in Koniko's native language of Japanese. And of course, if I was able to do that, and God had blessed me to do that by His Spirit, we have an interpreter here, right here with us.
Yes.
Amen? She could stand and do what the Scripture says to do. Let not a man speak with another tongue unless there be an interpreter. We got an interpreter. But, and to those whose ears are closed to the things of the kingdom of God and the things of the spirit realm, they cannot hear the truth of the matter to the understanding in the spirit and soul of man. They only see and they can only understand a religious aspect of it, but not to the changing of the heart and the mind. You see, there's many religious folks. You know, it's sad to see the demise of our country in its morality. I saw on TV this past week where 40% of the population of the United States do not believe that marriage has any significance. Now, brother, that's a lot of people. We got 350 million people in this country, and you take 40% of that do not believe marriage is significant. They're just living together is okay. The Bible says marriage is honorable and is pleasing before God. Simple as that. But not to the young generations of today. Not even, it's not known to the young generations. It's folks that are our age, brothers and sisters, that are out there trying to live on their Social Security checks, and the best way they can do it is live together, sharing their Social Security. And so they just give away what they've been taught and what they believe for the last 40 years at the church, and they quit going and just start living with each other, so nobody knows their business. It is a major dilemma of immorality in this country. Furthermore, 30% of the American population believe that same-sex couples should adopt and have children in this country. Now, wouldn't it be nice? And I'm saying this sarcastically. It would be a sad thing when we get to the point to where somebody asks, who's your father? Who's your daddy? And you say, I don't have a daddy. I got two mommies. Brother, it's there. I don't have a mama. I got two daddies. And we're living in that society. And we wonder why our nation is at the position it's in regarding the economical problems and the terrorist activity and the influence of the wickedness of Muslim power that is threatening our land and our freedoms and so forth. It's amazing to me. God has had his long-suffering patience even this long upon this country. And the only reason I believe that he has is because of the elect of God that are here, that he's still got his hand of mercy upon, and because of those people has he spared us from not more severity of punishment, terrorism, and perilous times, of which I think are around the corner. In the Gospel of John, I think I'll go to chapter 8. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, the deity of Jesus Christ was challenged by a bunch of Pharisees and a bunch of the chief priests of Judaism. And we find that that they said that, let's start at verse, verse 37 of chapter 8 of John's Gospel. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. Now Jesus is saying to these Judaizers, these Jews, he's saying, I know you're of Abraham's seed by natural birth, by bloodline. But he says, but you seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. Now we're getting back to this part about not having hearing ears and seeing eyes. My word has no place in you. We wonder why people don't listen to what we say when we talk to them about Christ, about the gospel, our loved ones, our children, people we work with, co-workers, and even the religionists of our society. Many people that go to First Baptist Church are Okeechobee Independent Baptist Church and so forth. They claim to believe the Bible. You talk to them about the Word of God and they look at you like you're kind of strange. Do you realize this also, that there was a poll taken? I'm giving you some statistics because I think it's a gauge by which we see the demise of our society. There was a statistic and a poll taken this past week again, I heard this, and it was on professing Christians and if they could name the Ten Commandments. Well, as ironic as that might be, you'd think if they were devout Christians and studied the Word of God, they could at least name the Ten Commandments. Do you know that the four people that were asked that question, they named two of them? And one of them was, thou shalt not steal, and the other one was, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the rest of them said, well, I can't remember the rest of them. They said, well, can you tell me, another group of people was asked, can you tell me what the first and last books of the Bible are called? And one young lady who was a professing Christian now, she says, isn't it Genesis? The guy said, no, it's Genesis. She says, well, I don't know what the last book is. Now, this is a sad situation. These are professing Christians. And we wonder why we got problems with people that will believe anything that comes along because they don't know what the book says. They haven't read the book. They haven't studied the scriptures. They haven't been taught the truth of the matter. Because they don't have ears to really hear it. And on the most part, is the biggest problem. They have been those that have been those tares that have been brought in by this easy believism gospel that's been preached for the past 30 years amongst the neo-evangelicals of our land trying to get souls saved by the means and methods of men. All you got to do is just come and believe and make a decision for Christ. Make a decision for Christ. Amen. And if you make a decision for Christ, you shall have life and life everlasting. But here's the thing about it. Has Jesus decided for you? You can make all the decisions you want, but Jesus Christ must have decided for you. For he, the Bible says, Jesus said, for all that the Father give me shall come to me, and I shall no wise lose none. Right. Welcome, brother. Sit down here a minute. Listen to us preach to you. And the Bible says that Jesus said that I'm not going to lose any that the Father give to me because my sheep, they're going to know my voice and they're going to follow me because they hear me. They hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And they'll follow him. But the Bible says also that those who are not the sheep of God are not going to follow him because they'll follow another. Amen. They're going to follow a hireling. Amen. They're going to follow some religious guy over here that's preaching another gospel other than the sound gospel of the Holy Writ. Right. Amen?
Yeah.
And the Bible says that Jesus said, well, I know that you're from the seed of Abraham, but you're not able to see the truth of the matter because you want to kill me. And my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father. He's speaking about their father being that of the devil. And they answered and said unto them, Abraham is our father. Oh, wow, I'm from Abraham. I got his blood in my veins. I'm a Hebrew. And the Bible says, Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. What were the works of Abraham? He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. Because he was given faith, and that faith was a gift of God. By grace he was given. Abraham found grace in the eyes of God, just like Noah did, and just like the other prophets of God did. And the Bible says, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that have told you of the truth, and which have heard of God, and this did not Abraham. And the Bible says, for ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, that if God were your father, ye would love me. Now, if God is your father, you're going to love Jesus. Because there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And you can't know the Father without knowing the Son. That's why a Muslim cannot know the Father who they call Allah unless they know Jesus. They don't know Him by Mohammed. No, Jesus, that's the name. And above every name. And at the name of Jesus, God highly exalted Him by giving Him that name, didn't He? Amen. That's the name. And the Bible says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Yeah. You got to have open ears by the Holy Spirit that comes and quickens and causes one's ears to be open to hear the truth. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Every lie that's ever been told, you know where it comes from, don't you? When God allows you to say a lie or an untruth, you know where it comes from. And now let me tell you this much. Satan has no free reign upon the children of God.
Well,
Satan is bound now.
Yeah.
He's bound.
Yeah.
Because Jesus Christ bound him when he rose from the dead and defeated hell and sin for our sake. He bound the prince of darkness.
He sure did.
And he has no reign over us.
Right.
And Satan cannot do one thing that God does not sovereignly allow him to do.
Yes,
because he is the one that rules and reigns in heaven's glory.
Amen.
And among the inhabitants of this time world.
Amen,
amen is right.
Amen.
And the Bible goes on to say, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not.
Well,
which of you convinceth me of sin? Oh, he that knew no sin, he became sin for us, the Bible said. Yes, in 1 Corinthians 5, I believe 22, God had made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was tempted in every way, yet without sin, became sin for us that we might be made the redeemed heirs of divine grace. Amen.
On the cross.
Oh, on the cross of Calvary.
Yes, sir.
Oh, he that is of God heareth God's word, as I said earlier. He that is of God heareth God's words, and the rest out there don't care less about it. They ain't got ears to hear it, brother. They ain't got a hearing aid that's tuned to God's frequency. They can't hear it. They're listening to another message. Ain't they?
They're dead.
Yeah, they're dead in sins. Amen, they're dead. They were born dead in sin's depravity through Adam's lips.
Yeah.
Oh, but Jesus came to set us free.
All right.
And the Bible says, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and thou hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, for there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Oh, they said that Jesus hath the devil. Let me tell you something. That's an unforgivable sin. They were never given ears to hear, as far as I'm concerned, because they called Jesus that which had a devil. The Bible says Abraham is dead and the prophets are dead.
Yeah.
And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, that he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than the father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who makest thou thyself? I'll tell you who makest thou thyself. God Almighty
has
taken upon himself the clothing of a flesh and body, and it's called Jesus.
Yes,
he was born of a virgin Mary.
Yes, sir.
In that lowly little manger sitting there. And he came and he grew in stature and preached the gospel. That whosoever believeth on me shall never perish but have everlasting life. And everyone, and listen to me now, in the book of Acts, Lydia, a seller of purple.
Yeah.
A woman who was in a place near Laodicea, over there in Asia, when the disciples went there to preach. The Bible says that God had opened her heart that she would attend to the things spoken by the disciples. Unless God opens your heart that you might attend to the truth of the gospel, you'll never believe it. You'll never receive it. But when he does open your heart, you have a contrite, a work of repentance fall upon you, and you'll say, "Oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. God, forgive me." Because that is the operation of the Spirit of God upon the heart of man. That reveals to them their sinfulness, their unworthiness. It reveals to them that they have no hope and no help apart from Jesus Christ to come to seek and save sinners alone. Oh, and the Bible says, Jesus said that it is the work of God.
Praise God.
That you believe.
Believe
Him that I have sent.
Yes, sir.
It's the work of God. It's not of works, lest any man can boast.
Yes, Lord.
What man can stand and boast and say to God, "I'm so glad that I decided to follow Jesus"? Oh, no.
We
can't say, but amen.
Grace.
Unmerited favor. Oh, by the sovereign love of God that He can come and seek out His own sheep and save them. This brother here, now he's got a little handle on the truth here. Anybody talks about grace is a brother of mine, because grace is where it's at. The unmerited favor of God. Now, let me conclude by saying this. That the Bible says that in the Roman letter, we are saved by grace through faith, and that's not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace and faith both are not of ourselves. You say, well, what part do we play in this thing? I'll tell you what part you play. You are a recipient of the gift and grace of God. It ain't because... Now, God, let me say this in closing. God has not came and given opportunity for all of mankind to be saved. Now, you're going to say, no, wait a minute, brother. That sounds a little too tough now. That sounds a little too stringent. Well, let me ask you this now. Upon the cross of Calvary, okay, and the shedding of His holy blood upon that cross, for whose sins did He pay for on that cross? Now wait, did He pay for the sins of the whole world? Now He loved the world that He gave His Son, but did He pay for the sins of the whole world? Oh, I don't know. If He did, then the whole world is saved already, because they're redeemed automatically. But I'm telling you, there is a particular redemption in that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's particular in its application. It's so particular that it's only applied to the elect of God. He chose the elect. He called them out of a life of sin and degradation, and give them a hope in Christ, and to them through that blood is applied to.
Praise God.
And there is a particular redemption in that blood. And if it were not so, then there is a universal atonement, which some preach even today. Some old brother up in the mountains, they preach this universal atonement, that all is going to go to heaven, and that the blessings you encounter in this life, it depends on your obedience. Well, if that's the case, I ain't going to get no blessings, because my obedience ain't good enough. I need the obedience of Christ. And His obedience is what is sufficient for us. Because the Bible says that it is God that works in you both to what? Will and to what? Do of His good pleasure. Oh, if He don't work in you to will and do, you ain't going to do it. But it's the Holy Ghost in you that causes you to will and to do it. And He that's begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I need a performer. I got one. His name is Jesus Christ. He's performing it for me and for you to believe here today. And I praise His name that we have a performer that is satisfying God Almighty in the heavenlies, and that He is seated beside God the Father, making intercession for us even as we speak today. Oh, He is our high priest. He's saying, "Oh, them's my beloved children, Father. Oh, they're mine." Oh, I mean, you say, "Well, yeah, but Satan, he can do this," and Satan can't do no more, as I said earlier, what God in His sovereign purpose causes to come about. Oh, How about Job, huh?
Yeah.
Could Satan do anything with Job? No. He could only do what God said he could do. You go down there and you afflict his body, but don't you touch his soul. Oh, Satan, he knew that was bad territory. Don't touch his soul. And so it is with the work of Satan in this time world. He is limited and he's tied down, and he cannot touch the bride of Jesus Christ that is being put together without spot nor wrinkle, awaiting that coming time when Jesus comes and descends from the heavens with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And he calls that elect church out of this world. We're going to see him as he is and be transformed like unto him, immortal and incorruptible.
Yes, sir.
For the power and by the power and the glory of God Almighty.
God Almighty.